Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 397 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas? Happy Mother's Day to your significant others.
Yeah, lovely day today. Yesterday being Motherfuckers Day. Not so much fun. But anyway, today is Mother's Day and it was enjoyable.
And that's good, mate. And in honour of Mother's Day, I feel this weekend, my Penrith Panthers have successfully made me feel safe, warm, nurtured, comforted, protected, just as a good mother should. I can't say enough good things about them.
Look, I have to echo your sentiments as well. However, unfortunately for poor old Glenn, he had one of those childhoods where the Tigers did actually remind him of his mother.
Hang on
basically
a sec.
basically, you know, pumping him up, lifting his hopes, jerking him around, jerking him off, and tucking him in unsatisfied at the end of the night.
Like, really?
After a substandard meal.
Yeah. A frozen lean cuisine. A frozen lean cuisine where it's not quite heated up properly. No. Mashed potatoes are still a bit frozen.
It's still frozen in the middle.
And then tucking you in. You've got no idea where they've been all afternoon. And they tuck you in with a slight smell of cock on their breath and this slimy residue on your forehead. You don't know.
You're just talking about Ed's mums in general, right? Not my mum specifically, right? Because you're heading into dangerous territory.
I was just gonna go with like, you know, like bourbon and fucking like Winnie Greens or something. But like, you've gone there.
I was gonna say you don't know if it's fucking Kmart lipstick mixed with a menthol tinge and fucking sticky Woodstock residue. Or something worse. Yeah, Ed's mums in general. Shout out to Ed. Course. Represent.
Yeah. you're gonna get fucking Cronulla rioted at fucking on grand final weekend. You're just gonna get this Ed's contingent.
Yeah, because fucking cunts from Ed's can afford airplane tickets.
Oh, fuck yeah.
grand final weekend, buddy. They just have to fucking drive. They just have to catch the train.
Exactly. They can't afford train tickets either, son.
Yeah, but I mean,
think you're safe.
Aren't they the jump the turnstile gang? I mean, like,
this come on, see,
here's the thing.
Days of the Red Rappers are gone.
Ridden a train without paying.
They can jump a turnstile. Not if I call in a bomb threat in the Campbelltown line.
All right, and this is our recaps episode for round 9 of the NRL. There's some spicy news that's been coming out the last couple of days, but we're going to have to hold it over to Wednesday because it's what we do. But we shall see. Round 9.
What's the spicy news?
There's just a bunch of news. Like, you know, so we finally got confirmation on the Xavier Coates situation. He's told his teammates that he's gone to the Storm, which, you know, once again, fantastic news for the Broncos. And
it's fantastic news for Xavier Coates' girlfriend. Oh.
Fantastic news for Xavier Coates in general. Can you imagine plying like a pretty good ply, like, you know, very, very, you know, career in the infancy, but, you know, he's shown himself to be a player of potential, and, you know, he's got, like, you know, great physical attributes, like enormous height and everything for a winger. So he's one of those guys that can easily make themselves a target, and he's done so, being fed a diet of fucking spam and fucking Deb mashed potatoes from fucking like
that are frozen in the middle.
And yeah, exactly. And he's thinking, wow, I've actually, you know, he scored some spectacular tries, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now he's going to be feeding off, you know, Cameron Munster fucking pinpoint targeted kicks and Jerome Hughes and shit. So he's just going to be, you know, dreaming. It's, I imagine his emotions now are the exact opposite of what Josh Adokar will be feeling in about fucking a year's time from now. anyway, speaking of Storm, Thursday night, Melbourne Storm 50 defeated the South Sydney Rabbitohs 0, thereby, of course, as the trope goes, removing them from finals contention.
Yes.
Or grand final contention. Storm's 50. Tries too. Jerome Hughes, Brandon Smith, a double to George Jennings, and 6 tries to Josh Adokar.
Oof.
I guess you've got to say as good wingers do as good wingers do. I mean,
we call that the double Lottie.
Yeah, and the only thing saving South from an embarrassing scoreline was the fact that Munster only got 5 of 10 conversions.
Mm. Yeah.
Saved themselves from embarrassment. And, of course, the Rabbitohs, fuck all, 0, zip. Glenn.
Adam Reynolds doesn't even have to play to justify his asking price or contract length at the Rabbitohs at this point. Of course, they were out without Latrell and probably most importantly, Cam Murray in this game. I think that's where the rot started for the Storm. They were pretty soft through the middle. And from the Storm's perspective, I think they, and testament to their mental toughness and professionalism, they came prepared to play a full-strength South side and had no interest in adjusting to the fact that South were down on those key players, and they just went about their business and, you know, rolled through the middle and created opportunities at will. And that's how you end up with that scoreline. Josh Adokar.
I think to your point, though.
Sorry.
Just to interject quickly there, Melbourne do that better than almost any other team.
Yeah.
Just in giving absolutely no fucks who they're playing, their standard is themselves.
Yeah.
And you could tell quite obviously that what they were going out there to do is perform much differently than they had against Cronulla the week before. Yep. Didn't matter who was in their way.
Yep.
It was about their standards and what they set for themselves.
Yeah, I agree. Adokar, you know, you just touched briefly there on, you know, the fact that he's obviously going to the Dogs next year, but, you know, like, for the Dogs to win games next year, he's going to have to score 6 tries a fucking week. You know, so he's... Yeah, you know,
I mean, this appetite for 6 tries, I mean, that's like... it's like he's loading up on tries now because he knows he's not going to get any more after this year.
Next year, he's also not going to have Justin Ollum feeding him fucking gimmies.
No.
Well, this is the thing, 2021 Justin Ollum. I mean, yeah, next year he could very well have 2020 Justin Ollum out there who doesn't know how to fucking pass to the left.
Exactly.
I mean, he was Will Chambers, and then he learned to pass. And did you see how happy he was when he's like, I learned to pass, and he put Fox in for a try, and he was so happy because he's like, oh my God, I learned a new thing. Like, you know, that was like a win for me too because I learned how to pass left.
Looked up to the coach's box and, Craig, release my family. I let the ball go.
Yeah. There's obviously going to be a big party at the Olin residence this weekend, you know, like for a big reunification.
I was going to say, party. Some would call it a reunion.
You got anything to add here for Jared? I mean, it was fucking impressive. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to say too many good things about the Storm.
It was no pun intended, perfect storm. Mm. Melbourne had a shitty game or a shitty half of football last week, and even though they won the game, there would have been some fucking strips taken off them.
Yeah,
this week. They came out and really just executed. And as Glenn said before, the perfect summation of that game is the forwards rolled through at will.
Yep.
The backs with early ball created plenty of space and were just dominant one-on-one against their opposite numbers and created opportunities.
Let down badly with one-on-one tackle misses.
Yeah.
that they ordinarily, you think they would ordinarily get. There were far too many line breaks where the Storm didn't really have to, after the break was made, they didn't really have to do anything. I mean, it was a try at the end of every break. Yeah. And sometimes there was no backing up required. Most of the time it was Fox just getting, you know, being the guy on the spot to get the try at the end of it.
It was, the line breaks were 9-0.
Yep.
You know? And again, just it's little things that Melbourne do. I like it. And, you know, to use a fucking catchphrase or overused catchphrase, but it really is eyes up football. When there's a six again call or they catch somebody out and there's a little bit of space about them, they just keep going at that space.
Yep.
Or when there's a break made and there's no defenders back, that it's just straight. Just keep going straight. Where very often you see teams, their first instinct is to spread it, which, you know, catches the ball up with defenders coming in. I get the idea of trying to look for width and run around defenders.
Yeah.
But if there's no one there, go straight. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the shortest route to the try line. Going into the socials on this one, Ryan in the Facebook group said, fuck these purple cheats. This is like watching my favourite pub burn to the ground. I hope a wave of monkey AIDS runs through the whole bunch and they spread it throughout their whole shithole state. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Super Grover said Munster is tauntingly keeping the Bunnies premiership chances alive. Hashtag disrespectful conversion misses. Fucking hell. Michael says up the fucking purple pride. Fuck South. Fuck your multi. Fuck the Broncos.
Fuck our multi. Our multi is fucking usually involved around Storm players scoring lots of tries.
Yeah, well, there's only one Storm player this week.
Yeah.
Ryan said, could have been a totally different game if Reynolds was there to kick 26 two-point field goals. B.43 on Twitter said, have South kicked themselves out of the comp again? Jesus, this is bad. And then in contrast, Jared Wetton on Twitter said to us, they have had two losses all year, both to Melbourne. I'd say they need to review those tapes should a third game arise in September. Otherwise, it's curtains. Very true.
It's true. Okay, Friday night, the early game we had was the Panthers, 48, defeating the Sharkies, 0. The Panthers, 48, came through tries to James Fisher-Harris, Stephen Crichton, Matt Burton, Viliame Kikau, and Charlie Staines with a hat-trick.
Like good wingers do.
Oh, sorry, and Matt Eisen, who's there. We crossed over the line there. There's Matt Eisen, who's also with a try. Cleary, 8 conversions from as many attempts. Defeating the Sharkies, 0. Tough start to the round for Volandi's fans.
Yes.
Look. The Sharkies, as we know, they've been in tank mode ever since they decided to sack their coach for a caretaker 4 rounds into the season.
That decision,
which is that the earliest coach?
It has to be.
It's got. I mean, like even when coaches are going like terrible, because this thing he wasn't going badly either. Mm. It was just like we made a decision for next year, but we're hoping the PVL implements a draft before next season, and we're going to tank for this draft that may happen if there's enough people on an online poll that say they want it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, decision looks more and more bizarre by the week, doesn't it?
Yeah. Off Look, you go, Jay.
It's a very, very similar stats line across the park to the Melbourne game. The line breaks were 8-0. Tackle breaks were 45-16. 44 of them being Brian To'o, who is just having an absolutely stellar season. It seems at the moment that the Melbourne Storm are just skill and execution. You know, and the fact that they've got people like Pappenhausen to come back into that squad is fucking scary. Whereas Penrith are more so energy and attitude. You know, just where they're playing such an up-tempo style of football that it's forcing defences to make decisions.
That also requires a huge amount of skill as well. Don't undersell that.
No, not at all. But the other thing we talk about attitude is on the defensive side of things. The way that they can lock in together so many times during a game where they just feel like, oh fuck, a bit of momentum's creeping back into these cunts here. Okay, so we just need a set where we're not going to let them pass their 15. And it's just every tackle that set, they're doing it cleanly. They're not giving away ruck infringements or offside penalties, and they're just fucking nailing people. It's not like that Souths game I spoke about a little while ago where it was just that one-on-one tackle effectiveness. This is teamwork, and they're really demoralising teams. Add to that in this one, unfortunately, there were a couple of Cronulla players that just had absolute shockers. Like Wade Graham had the most uncharacteristically poor game I think I've seen him ever play.
And I don't know if it's a team situation as a whole that's rubbed off, but I mean, it's like the classic, you know, boxer, you know, going one fight too long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like maybe one season too long for Wade.
Yeah. It looks like, and it is, you're right, it's not like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
It's like there's a disconnect between, you know, want and execution. But Penrith's forwards, especially. Just absolutely monumental. Fisher Harris was fantastic to see him get over the line. But everyone on that pack is doing almost exactly what they need to do all the time. The roll-on's phenomenal. Their handling has come on in leaps and bounds because that let them down a few times last year as well. But the way that their style of football forces defences to retreat is going to trouble teams for the rest of the year. For Cronulla, fuck, where do you go? Like you're seven.
One of the most lopsided 80-minute possession statistics I've ever seen in my life. 37% across the game for Sharks.
Yeah, it's woeful.
Which is like fucking crap. Like that is like, you know, you sometimes see that, you know, for a 20-minute period in a game or, you know, but like across the entire game.
Yeah,
it's fucking crazy.
Well, given, you know, the Bunnies had 41%.
Yeah. Yeah, not much better,
so
I suppose.
Not worlds apart, but but you're right. Mistakes and errors just completely took Cronulla off the hook. Took Penrith off the hook. And looking over that team, and here's a yardstick just to throw out there. If you could go and take any player from Cronulla for your side, who would you pull? Like, I'd pull Toby Rudolph. And he'd probably get a bench spot.
Yeah.
With the Panthers. Would you pull anyone else out of that side?
Fuck. Now you may put him in a plot, put him in a spot. I'm going to go have a look. Fuck. Like, honestly. See, like, as we sit here today, man, I'd struggle. I mean, it's like even these guys that were fucking great last year.
Yeah.
Like, they've just fallen off a fucking cliff.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if there's anyone really, you know, maybe I'd take, you know, like Brayley or something as like a bench hooker or, you know, stick him in Blacktown. But, I don't.
Like, even Nakora. Nakora's such a fucking,
that's,
yeah.
When I was talking about who fall over, that's exactly who I was talking about.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
And it was nice of them to hook. Good old Chad, so Moylan could have an opportunity to show us that we fucking won the trade. So that was fantastic.
Also, the hooking of Chad Townsend, it actually had Cronulla fans walking away from that game feeling like they had a win.
Yeah.
Despite getting done by about 50.
Mm. I'll tell you what.
They felt great that he was hooked.
Bringing Matt Moylan into that game was like seeing your fucking ex-girlfriend out. And not only has she put on 30 kilos since you've broken up, she's also decided to come out in a dress that she owned when you were together. And the fucking threads of that thing, like at any stage, are threatening to come apart with such force that they will flay alive any person within a 3-meter radius of them. So thank you for that, Cronulla.
Like a fucking claymore.
That's it.
Okay.
On to the socials. Mitch said, you know your club's in all sorts when the man who's supposed to come on as a replacement for injuries is a walking injury himself. Hashtag green whistle for the 18th man. Of course, referring to Cronulla's Josh Dugan. Nathan said, Townsend and Graham, welcome to the Capewell glory hole. Hashtag dessert from Kurt.
See, that's a better hashtag than any of those other ones. Hashtag. That's amazing.
Terry said, the Aiden Tolman fourth tackle hit up in the red zone doesn't make me angry anymore. It brings joy. Terry being the long-suffering Dogs fan.
And the thing is, Aiden Tolman, like, I think he topped the Sharkies for run meters, I believe, for the game.
Oh, Sharkies.
which just tells everything, doesn't it?
At Lambretta GP 1971 said, the Sharks were lucky to score nil tonight. Tell Buzz his relegation idea is a really fucking good one. And officially now my favourite Twitter account of 2021, Chin Laden, at Chin underscore Laden 69.
Of course, it's 69.
That's right, you xenophobic cucks. I crashed the plane with no survivors. Hashtag down, down, Cronulla. Hashtag blinding lights.
And this is not a burner of yours, right?
No. No, it's not.
But I fucking, it may as fucking well be, right? Okay, next up we had the Roosters. Oh, sorry, the Eels, 31, defeating the Roosters, 18 at Bankwest. The Eels, 31, tries to Blake Ferguson, Tom Obercheck, Dylan Brown, and a double to Bryce Cartwright, Moses, 5 conversions, and a field goal. The Roosters, 18, came through a hat-trick to Matt Ikavalu, Walker and Kieran with a conversion apiece, and Kieran with a penalty goal. Glenn.
I've had a bit to say about Bryce Cartwright these last few weeks, but I thought he was quite good again. Was conscious not to overplay his hand. Scored a couple of tries. Had some really good touches. His defence, some of his first contact. Looks like, you know, he had some. Could understate it by saying that he had some defensive yips there in his stint at the Titans. But looks like his newfound love for the game, and it means he's putting his shoulder into his work. So. And his teammates are happy to see it as well. Like, he's obviously there's a bond forming there for him, which is probably good for Bryce as well, as the fact that he's playing good footy. So for the Roosters, they had, you know, more injuries and were still in the game and within a converted try right up until the 73rd minute. And we've spoken several times about systems and teams that are, you know, system teams are more like, you know, Melbourne or the Roosters. And you look at those teams compared to a team like South, who, when both teams are at full strength, South are, you know, every bit as competitive or a title contender as the Roosters or the Storm. But they don't have that system mentality. It's quite interesting to see how the Roosters respond as a unit and as an organisation compared to South losing several key players for the game against the Storm and getting blasted. So, having said that, I think the Roosters, there's got to be some sort of tipping point, right?
Now I think we've reached it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I tend to agree with you.
This game, and it wasn't this game that they reached it. It was this game, the injuries they sustained from this game that in future weeks are going to absolutely fuck them. Mm. And like, it's like you said, they were in that game up until, what was it, 73rd minute when 73rd, Dylan Brown scored that try. And I mean, at that point, like, it was arguably a player that shouldn't even been on the fucking field.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a fucking weird one.
Bizarre.
It's pretty bad as far as these things go. Hey, like, I mean, it seemed pretty open and shut to me.
Especially with them coming out and saying, amongst other things, that we are going to have an extra focus on utilising the sin bin and an extra focus on people making contact with the head and neck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not fucking out of the realms of reasonable to assume that that extends to injuries, you know?
Yep.
One thing I'm not a fan of is people using the extent of someone's injury to justify a punishment, right?
Yeah.
Because that means, well, okay, so what happens? Does that mean that if somebody gets up again, that shouldn't be penalised?
Yeah.
No, that's fucking stupid. But regardless of what was happening, the cunt's in a fucking ambulance with a punctured lung.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes some fucking force to crack a rib. It's not one of those fucking breaks where, you know, you kick your little toe against a fucking door and it doesn't take much to shatter the bone.
Yeah.
It takes some fucking force. But for them to just miss it completely?
Yeah.
Mm.
I thought it was off. And then to not go back and fix it. Look, I think they've been doing a pretty good job actually this year of fucking pulling stuff up and going, hang on, nah, there was a penalty here. Go back and play it.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I remember complaining as a Manly, it was Manly versus the Titans, and like they got through like an entire fucking set and then they go back and get a penalty. I'm like, this is not fucking Tenet, man. Stop trying to go back in time to find reasons to fucking give these cunts the ball again. But I mean, they can see that, like a guy did, you know, there was a guy that might have been too handsy in the ruck or something fucking 3 minutes ago, but they can't see a guy dropping knees.
But again, it's not even like it was obscured.
No. No, it was fucking. It was so cut and dried.
So yeah, but the Roosters also in this one suffered and it was unlucky. But when you get such linchpins of your attack and leaders in defence like Radley get HIA'd right at the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a fucking rough night at the office.
I would go so far as to say that if Radley hadn't have been wiped out of this game, that the Roosters probably would have got away with it, because I mean the noticeable difference in the quality of the ball getting out, with Radley not there, is crazy. Like he's so important to that side, especially you know with the state they're in at the minute.
Mm. And on your Bryce comments, I agree with you 100%. But you know, and that goes, I guess, to his hard work, or what I'm assuming is his hard work. Because one thing that groups of people like that love is somebody that's had a hard time and has worked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Has actually fucking worked for it. And what I'm... And I thought about this a little bit after the game, and I mix it with the fact that if you look across Penrith's team, and Nate, you and I have spoken about this multiple times, you know, throughout last year and even the year before, about why it is that people don't give a short kicking game to as many members of their football team as they possibly can.
Mm.
Like why it is that they can't have, whatever many hours a week, or whatever, just trying to develop a short kicking game for everybody in that side. Can you imagine the sort of fucking havoc that would do with a fullback trying to plan their defensive position?
Yeah,
and every guy has an example on his tape for somewhere of putting through like
park the entire game. Spine on one side of the field, and then sling it out to a fucking front rower who puts a deft kick in for the winger on the opposite side.
Exactly. And you're starting to see a little bit of that with Penrith. How many guys in that side have a kick on them? You know, there's a fucking half playing in the centres for them. Melbourne do it when they can all kick back inside on breaks.
Mm.
Fuck it, we're not up to that game yet, but I mean, Josh Papali'i put in a fucking great kick.
Fucking didn't he?
Dude, nearly came off, got brought to the line, drop off, nearly got a try.
Yeah, but maybe it's also coming in time for people like Bryce. And I do this, you know, as we discussed, I've been watching a little bit of basketball again, and there's a guy that plays basketball, was a touted superstar named Blake Griffin. He played for a couple of teams, was always sort of injury riddled, and whilst he was a sensational player, never really got to the heights that people expected him to coming into the league, and he was busted. He was on a team on way too much fucking money, wasn't performing, looked broken, looked dejected, was fucked. He's been picked up by another team as essentially a super sub, or a bench player and second unit player. And he's playing 20% of the minutes he used to, and he's a bona fide superstar again.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe there's room in this developing game where you have nights like the Roosters had, where a Bryce Cartwright is crucial to your team, who can sort of fill three or four positions and will get on and just work his ass off for 20, 30 minutes a game and just be wherever you need him to be and get out there. His job essentially being go out there with the best fucking attitude possible for anyone on there and lift three guys around you.
Yep.
Because that's what Bryce seems to be doing. Fucking God bless.
Hey, look,
God bless his baby killing socks.
We love a comeback. You know, we love a comeback story. Yeah, on this show, and especially with someone you know who's not necessarily a mascot, but certainly one of our more meme players.
And let me just fucking clarify there. We love a comeback story, not a redemption story.
Yeah,
correct.
Yes, it's a very important choice of words there, Nathan. Kudos.
Yes.
Yeah. Redemption story. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
And look, I guess credit to the Eels for actually controlling the game and hanging in there. They have to play the guys that are up against them, and look, I'm not saying soft draw, but the Parramatta Eels are certainly being benefited by a lot of fucking shit going their way this season. You know what I mean? Well, and like, but well, you know,
here you go again. Look at this, you know, to your point before, Nathan. Sydney, the Roosters had 36% of possession for the game.
Yeah, I was going to bring that. It was funny, like the very next game was 1% lower. Crazy. Yeah.
So.
But look, you know, good job Roosters hanging in there. You know, Eels did what they had to do and, banked another win. And now when we get to Wednesday night this week and we're talking about the Roosters and we're talking about, you know, how great they've been doing it, you know, sort of covering these massive holes. This week's the week where I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And watch them fucking win. And
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hit socials.
Socialist one, Ryan in the Facebook group said, Bryce is hanging the Roosters out to dry. Yes, he is. Nathan said, vaccinations 1, black rice 0. Hashtag Cardi Party.
Word.
Adam said, this isn't the first time a Hutchinson has struggled to breathe.
Oh, that's so... I can't believe none of us thought of that.
I'm not saying we didn't, but...
Yeah.
You know. Dean said, who'd have thought a win over the Roosters would highlight Parramatta's lack of premiership credentials? Moses and Brown, premiership winning halves, fuck all chance with those two flat track bullies. Mendoza said, Eels played shit and still won. Sam Walker is the new Ponga. Commentator's paprika every time he touches the ball. First time he played a decent team and he got dusted. Really? I haven't had that vibe about him.
That's harsh.
I feel that's a little harsh.
I feel that's very harsh.
Fucking Mendoza, Jesus.
Mendoza.
Nigel said, I have nothing left to say but point out what is quite obviously blatant and that there is an agenda by the NRL not to let the Roosters win this year by deliberately allowing our players to be made frittatas by the opposition every weekend.
I don't think. I mean, like, Boy Corner's the only one that's suffering like these ongoing HIA situations, isn't it?
Oh, they've lost Corner. They've lost Fred.
Jake Friend, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, Fred. Yeah.
They lost Teddy for a period in this game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Teddy is becoming extremely fucking targeted.
Yeah.
And not in like that hard rugby league way. It's like swinging arms. Take him out of the fucking game way.
Yeah.
And that's the flip side of this HIA stuff. I mean, you know, because if a player stays down in the tackle for any length of time, you know, the trainer comes in, has to make an assessment, and then, you know, they could be yanked off the field for, a deeper test.
Uh-huh.
And so now if you're prepared to cop a penalty or two or maybe a little bit of a report for a player,
yep.
you could get people removed on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe wipe them out the next week, depending on what comes back.
Yeah.
Right, okay, moving along to the Saturday games. Will you finish the socials?
Yep, we're good.
Yep, right. Knights 24 defeated the Raiders 16. The Knights 24 came through tries to Phoenix, Crossland, Tyson Frizzell, and Jaden Brayley and Kalen Ponga. Ponga 4 conversions. The Raiders 16 tries to Tarpane Simonson, 2 conversions to George Williams, 2 penalty goals to George Williams. They're back, like the Raiders. The whole thing about winning's a habit, losing's a habit, fading's a habit.
Yeah.
Mm. And this team,
it's more like they're the
look. I'm no lover of. Sorry, go ahead.
At this point, they're more like the afraiders than the faders. They're petrified of stepping onto the field in the 41st minute onwards.
Yeah.
16-0 up.
Teams are going to have a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
But what teams are going to
have a lot of confidence no matter what the... Oh,
it's something like 92-8. They've been outscored.
I think it was 93-8 over the last X number of weeks. Like, it's staggering.
Mental.
And the fact that they were leading, I mean, in the current way the game is played and the way that momentum can be used and capitalized on, 16 points isn't a death sentence as far as a deficit, but it's still like a pretty good fucking barrier you've got there for yourself. I mean, the Knights came out of that second half and they went the trick shot on the kickoff for, and it came up and it's just immediate, like that just shot the Raiders like from that point on. I mean, they had a couple of chances where they sort of where they had some tries disallowed, but the differential between the first half Raiders and the second half Raiders at the moment. Like, I'm not a fan of Ricky, but I mean, could you, like, they would do your fucking head in.
Oh, imagine. To not fire a shot.
You could see it in this game. Yeah. You can see it in the game. Nate, you mentioned a little while ago that one of the hallmarks of a Trent Barrett coach side was that they need some external stimulus
to fire themselves into a game. Yeah,
to get them going. And you could see in the first 20 minutes of this game, neither side really stood up and stamped any authority on it. It was this sort of half frantic back and forth mistake fest until Canberra had a weight of possession and they put some pressure on and they came up with points and something clicked in them and they were like a different football side. And then for the rest of the half, they were very clearly the better side out of the two.
Yeah.
But then just as quickly as it came to them with points, it went away with Newcastle's points. And someone said as much in one of the socials comments, but you could see straight after the Knights got their points, it head fucked each and every one of them. Each and every one of them. And it's not like, you've seen teams where somebody scores and it takes them two or three tries in a comeback before it head fucks the other team. This is a fucking problem for the Raiders and Ricky, because it was any point scored against them in the second half, they're all head fucked.
And the most concerning part, big hole to get out of. I think the most concerning, from just to add on to your point, is the first thing to give way was their greatest strength. They softened up in the middle so fucking quickly, and then that created the space on the edges, and that the unravel. But that's their biggest strength, is those forwards and those guys. Mm. Through the middle, being dominant and overpowering. And as soon as the Knights pushed back, they fucking fell over like paddle pop sticks. And did not want a bar of getting back into it. And then the space on the edges with, Ponga and the try Frizzell scored. Like, I thought he'd completely fucking bombed it, and then he just put some footwork on six blokes and scored.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's particularly embarrassing, that particular. But the whole response from the Raiders forwards was probably the most concerning thing. Of all the fading and the losses and all the rest of it.
Yep.
When, any side, when the going gets tough, their default is to go back to what they do best. And the Raiders, the Raiders forwards didn't want a bar of it. So if I was Ricky Stewart, I'm glad I'm not, that would be the most concerning part.
Anything else, Nate?
No. I want to give credit to Callum Ponga for the second half play. I thought that he contributed to the Knights and was a big factor in the getting the ascendancy. And he had a great half of football. So don't let it be said that I don't recognise when he actually plays well. I mean, he's still a coward in defence and under the high ball, but attacking wise, he delivered on what they would, I imagine, expect to get from him.
But this is the thing, though. Basis. And I understand what you're saying, but at what stage does what should be considered every week, every minute of the game play, become something that you praise him for?
Well, yeah, that's it. I would like to qualify my statements and say it's not praise; it's just acknowledgement. And because, not, like, I feel, because we got, because, you know, we got the whole knights and the credit thing, you know, and, yeah. And so I just want, I want them to know that I recognise that he played well in the second half.
Yeah, that's true, but yeah, okay, it's things like so again, you look at greatest player in the game right now, Nathan Cleary. He played a phenomenal 80 minutes of football, directed his team to a win, but then he has those minutes where he steps up and goes above and beyond greatness into a godlike state. Like when he threw that pass where he looked back inside and threw the no-look pass out to Luai, who had Burton wrap around to score, like that was God tier. That was another dimension of play. Whereas what Ponga's doing is he plays a shocking first half where he's throwing passes to ground and just being more of a hindrance in the attacking line. He changes that to have an average play in the second half, and we're praising him. What sort of backwards donkey dick world is this we live in? Anyway, well done, Knights. Credit where credit's due. You just got the credit that is due to you.
There's some credit. Socials.
Jordan from the Facebook group said, maybe Mrs. Tarpany was on something. Ricky might want to watch out. He'll be lining up for Centrelink if he doesn't invite her on as a coaching consultant. Oh, God. The fucking poor cunt got injured too.
Yep.
That's fucking rough.
That'll limit his minutes.
If I was her, I would have got on Insta and gone, what the fuck? Last week was too few. This week was too long. What are you doing? Sam said, is it cheaper to sack the coach than it is to sack a bunch of useless cunts that don't want to be there? What the fuck is going on? Isaac said, well, we won a goddamn cripple fight. One of the worst quality games I've seen. Thank God for the return of the faders. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Nat said, remember when Hodgson was the problem? That's it. Wouldn't that have been fucking simple? Wouldn't that have been so fucking simple?
Yeah. Nothing changed. Not a thing.
Ryan said, makes a good point. As soon as the Knights got their first try early in the second half, you could see the Raiders' confidence slowly dissolve, and it was only going to go south from there. Good job from the Knights to keep the pressure on and clean up their errors from the first half. And MM Aussie says, too many years outside of Leilua has rubbed off on Rapana. Good for a brain fart or two with the game on the line. We'll be drinking milk from a spoon come September at this rate.
That's the thing. Like, Rapana had some fucking great touches and some, and he was put away a couple of times down the sideline.
Yeah.
But, like, motherfucker, like, there was that one in particular where he kicked it and it just sort of, you know, got scooped up by a Knights player and that was the end of that.
But it was like the second tackle or some shit.
Yeah, if not the first one. I mean, dude, you weren't, like, take two steps in from the sideline and just take the fucking tackle.
Is there a more kick-happy winger in the comp than Rapana?
Yeah, probably not.
Like,
he's up there.
He is. Like, there is zero thought of taking a tackle.
I want to say Josh Adokar is, but that tends to come off.
Yeah, I was going to say, does he get B-Moz, a pass because B-Moz it's kicks more effective?
B-Moz kicks in going over the sideline. He kicks over with his right foot, and it ends up going like landing straight in Teddy's lap, like 5 meters to the right of the upright.
Yeah, that's it. You know. But that's a fucking great example, though. If you're going to be a kick happy winger, it's up to the rest of your team to establish that you're a kick happy winger.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a break, it's not just your centre that should be pushing up in support with you. You know, the four positions inside of you should be up there as well to be there for the kick. Just put fucking jumpers around the ball. Not fucking hard. On Twitter, at Xander_TVT, said the Raiders aren't fit enough and have lost the will to not just win, but even consistently compete. They fail on all the detail areas of the game once the halftime buzzer is gone and just don't know how to manage a game when in front.
That's it.
And at the Biddles 1, said fitness and a lack of intensity. Yes, they lost two forwards for the second half, but it's round 9 for fuck's sake. Line speed is the slowest in the comp. Newcastle simply wanted it more.
Here we go. The West Tigers sorry, the Gold Coast Titans, 36. Feed the West Tigers, 28. Out at Campbelltown, a very special day with the retro-style Maggie's jerseys and, you know, Tommy Radonica's fanfare. The Titans, 36, had tries through a double to Philip Sammy. Peachy, Kelly, Bo Ferma, and Tanner Boyd also with tries. Jamal Fogarty, 6 conversions. The Tigers, 28, tries to BJ Leilua, Adam Dewey, Jake Simpkin, and a double junk time fucking special to David Nofaluma. Dewey, 4 or 5 conversions. Glenn, let's. What do you have to say?
First things first.
This situation.
I think my decision pre-game to park myself on the couch with a nice vodka and a West Magpies 1999 jersey, signature sponsored jersey. In hindsight, was a poor decision.
Do you get triggered every time that Prince song comes up?
Which one, mate? I wouldn't say I was a Prince fan.
Or Purple Rain, what do you fucking think?
The one about fucking 1999, you dopey thumb.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Well, partying like it's 1999 is not my thing. Well, the Tigers actually did. They played like the fucking 1999 Magpies for large parts of this game. It was the most disappointing thing was you could almost tell they weren't on from the first set. And if there's a more mental...
Yeah, but they came back from that part, though. They weren't on early, but then they suddenly switched on and they were looking dominant.
I thought you were going to say they played like they were coached by a deceased cancer patient.
If there's a more mentally fragile club in the comp, I'd like to hear who it is. But it was pretty fucking ordinary. I thought young Sini had a nightmare and... You got to allow kids to have a game or two like that as they start trying to put their first grade career together. Simpkins had a couple of mistakes as well, and unsurprisingly, a large portion of the fan base wants them dropped or sacked, and because you know we've just got this depth of fucking talented youngsters to just pluck out of God knows where and stick into the first grade side and save us. I say fucking leave them in there, let them make their mistakes because there's plenty of experienced fuckers in there that are making as many or more mistakes than these young fellas. So I think it's important for their development. To say it's disappointing, it's not the first time we've had that discussion this season, is it?
Nor will it be the last.
Well, that's a stretch, Nathan, if I'm honest.
We've had fucking 8 games in the season and it's already happened like 2 or 3 times minimum.
Oh, it's fucking true.
The hit rate, the strike rate is fucking incredible.
Yeah, you're right. I think with every game
if it was goals, that'd be El Masri.
Speaking of goals, the second funniest ending to a game this year after, of course, the one where Luke Brooks ran the length of the field and thought he'd scored a try in the game, point. The second funniest ending of the year, though, was Dewey like, I'm going to rush the clock's fucking stopped. I'm going to rush the conversion so we can have one more crack. Like a one-play thing to try and, you know, score a try and pull the game back level, and then proceeds to miss probably one of the easiest goal attempts he had that afternoon.
It's hard to hate on Dewey. He was... He had a dig for the whole game, but just on Luke Brooks again, I think defensively he made some important tackles. They obviously ran a fair bit of traffic at him, but in attack he was a fucking handbrake. I think Maguire has advised him to run the ball more to try and get his confidence back, and I think it's having the opposite effect.
How the fuck are you telling the guy with the shortest legs in the history of the game to run the ball more?
It's like a fucking practical joke, isn't it?
Can't
like
deny fucking, the he's fast.
Hey, Tyrion Lannister, fucking run down the other end of the field, I'll time you. It's that kind of thing.
You know what? Madge's favourite fucking... scene out of Jackass 2 was the one where Wee Man was running down the fucking street in a nappy. And so he just wants to see it every week for free.
Well, he's just like, look, if nothing else is going to be give me any joy from coaching these useless cunts,
may as well have a bit of fun with
make
it.
My own fun.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. I think Brooks
and look, I'll tell you what. All shit aside, though, Dewey has to be one of the most successful acquisitions for any team. And I mean that in all seriousness. He came from Souths, you know, and he probably wasn't happy about being let go or being free to look elsewhere, has taken to a new position and has been consistently one of the best deliverers for the club.
Yeah, I agree.
So all the shit from the season aside, that's one fucking positive that's come out of it.
Oh, he's like, well, I mean, you could see now with the in terms of directing the side around the field, he's the one making the calls now.
Yeah,
Luke Brooks has to just sort of sit back now, and he has to actually defer to him, which is I don't think is a bad thing for the Tigers either.
It's not.
What does it say for Luke Brooks's career though? Like his whole career.
Cares? I mean, it's not their job to. It's not their fucking job to preserve careers. Play better if you want a fucking career, bitch.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. Like, but fucking, it's like every game, every week, he's like slices a little bit more credibility off his fucking career. Just fucking let him go. Like, yeah. It's not helping anyone. And I think he's a far better footballer than what he's actually putting forward for the Tigers over the last season and a bit. I honestly do. But I think it's too far gone at the Tigers, and I think he needs an opportunity. He may need some time in fucking England.
So what is it, though, that's too far gone?
I think he's head fucked with the bullshit. Yeah, okay. The media, the fan base, the expectation and the pressure, and he's not living up to it. And every time he doesn't live up to it, there's more of that, which then fucks his head that little bit more, you know?
Don't come out in the newspaper at the start of the season and say you got no more excuses and you're unleashing yourself this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're right. Preaching to the choir. I'm not saying he's helped himself either.
Well, you know, that's what Glenn did when he went and started his business. He rang all his competitors and threatened to unleash himself.
Yeah, but the thing is, he actually did do that. Exactly. And you fucking know it because he puts these little posts on Facebook that's all right. the time as well.
Fucking come at me. Cunts.
So here's the thing. Is it the club, though? Is it the fact that every other club has, you know, budgets and regimen for fitness equipment and sports scientists and stuff like that, and the West Tigers are celebrating Ronnie Palmer spending a century in rugby league? You know, and like people are coming to him with compound fractures and he slaps some deep heat on him and gives him a Ventolin. He says, hope you don't get fucking drafted into NAM, you poor cunts.
He sprays some of that Mr. Magic fucking ice, the cooling spray on it.
How dare you, Sully, the name of the great Ronnie Palmer. But
fuck that biscuit factory. Him to tears.
I think Luke Brooks would be best served plying his trade elsewhere.
Right, and this is like I don't want to be all doom and gloom here for the Tigers. We got a lot of Tigers fans listening to the show, and like, you know, you haven't helped them at all with your fucking doom and gloom, Glenn. But I would say like in the general running of the play and attacking, the Tigers, you know, they're a reasonable side.
Well, they could score 28 points.
They're not even close to the worst side. The problem with the Tigers is they are one of the most inept, fucking clueless defensive fucking sides, if not the most inept, clueless defensive side in a competition this year.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of good stuff they can do in their general play, you know, their kicking games, you know, not terrible. They can lay on tries. But holy shit, on a cellular level, like the man-to-man fucking decision-making.
Yeah.
And the lateral movement.
Almost that entire side.
Scoring off a kickoff, which they discussed after the game, it's revealed that they had discussed in team sessions during the week training for this game that to be extremely wary of the Titans shifting from a kickoff, because they've got a bit of that in their game, we need to be aware of it. So they shift the ball from the fucking kickoff. We have Luciano and Mbai, to be fair, to some degree, it looked like he lost his footing. Luciano moves laterally like the fucking Manly Ferry, and they score off the fucking kickoff. Like, this, that's under eights. Bullshit. Mm. Yeah, it's, and that's mental, because you look at the Souths game, or you look at, you know, the Dragons game, they can do it.
Yeah.
They can do it. So it's like I say, if there's a more mentally fragile team that when they drop their heads, they drop everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just fucked. just fucked. And I am the fucking poor cunt that has to come out here twice a fucking week and put up with his fucking bullshit. And quite frankly, I fucking lived and died for this fucking team 100 times over, and all I want from these cunts is a bit of fucking effort in return. And I don't feel like that is an unnecessary expectation or an unrealistic expectation.
Coming in here twice a week, if you're David Nofaluma, between I'm Nate
rushing
and I,
in. I'm rushing in twice a week.
Yeah, but between Nate and I, which one of us is David Fifita's shoulder and which one's the fence?
I would say you are Fifita's shoulder, because you instigate me being launched. Right? You instigate it, and then Nathan would definitely be the fence. Because he's there and he gives you the impression, I've got you, buddy, I've got you. But then you realise he's a fucking fence. All too late, after you've hit him.
Because, yeah, and again, here's this thing. There's these tiny little things about the club. You put on a match at a suburban ground, which you've been to one or two times before, and have fucking exposed concrete and chain link fences within flying distance of the in goal. It's not a theme park, eh?
It's not like Campbelltown land where everyone needs to feel like they're deep in the heart of Campbelltown.
Well, I feel like I got jacked. And a shoe came off.
Why is there needles on the field? It's fucking topical.
Yeah, you've heard the story about the green M&Ms with Van Halen?
No.
So back in the day, Van Halen had a set request list when they went and played a venue. Right?
Like a writer,
so
yeah.
They'd take their concert around to different places, and they'd have a document that went out to the places in advance saying, this is the setup we need. And it covered everything from dressing room requirements to the stage to pyrotechnics to all of this stuff. And there were a couple of points in the dressing room that were really fucking super obnoxious rock star shit.
Mm.
Like a clear glass bowl, not plastic, 3/4 full with green M&Ms. No other colours.
I heard something M&Ms. Similar about, like, Mariah Carey at the height of her diva fucking shit, something similar, whether it was M&Ms or Skittles. Well,
different reasons, I think, for the two things,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. Okay. So with the Van Halen...
Because I know the story, yeah.
With the Van Halen thing, when their tour manager got to the venue before the band...
Yeah.
The first thing he would go and look for was the bowl of M&Ms in the dressing room, right? Because that told him a lot of what he needed to know about the organisation that they were playing the show at.
Yeah, okay.
If there was a bowl 3/4 full and somebody had taken the time to go and purchase 40 packets of M&Ms, pull all of the fucking green ones out and put them in a bowl, then their attention to detail was likely to be pretty good in other areas.
Yeah, there's other ways to
actually read the entire document.
Surely there's other ways to achieve that result without looking like a cunt.
Is there? Really? Honestly, is there?
And I mean, this is the thing. You've got a massive document. You're burying a few minor details in there. And I mean, like, if you're dealing with people that got attention to detail, then those minor details will be attending.
It was like, did you ever get that test at school where it gave you a set of instructions? And
the last one was...
Like the first one... was read every question before you begin the test. And then the very last one was do not answer any of the questions. Put your pencil down and go outside. And you'd be sitting there frantically fucking trying to answer the question. Like the one cunt that didn't have ADD at the age of 7 would fucking get up and walk outside.
Oh, but, yes. Anyway.
You know, this is the thing with the Tigers. What does them playing at their home ground, not having sufficient safety protocol set up for fucking players not to run into concrete and chain link fences, what is that their green M&Ms? What does that say about the rest of the organization and how it's run? I'll tell you, it says it's a fucking dumpster fire.
Look, can it's hard to argue against
that when the results are clearly have happened before you've made that comment.
I'd like to make an alternate. I'd like to put forth an alternate theory, though, because after all, out there at Campbelltown, that is actually Jared Haynes' house. You remember when he claimed ownership, and I think you know perhaps he's done some renovations to ease his transition into the next phase of his life, and concrete and steel is a big fucking part of that. And maybe
so he's getting slammed into it by giant men.
Exactly.
Look,
I think fucking brilliant.
On that note, I didn't want to say too much about it, but I encourage everybody to fucking tweet at every Jared Hayne rape apologist that they can find how fucking great it is and how overjoyed he must be to go into a place for 5 years where everyone living under that roof agrees with his definition of consent. How good it is for him to be in a place where he's just right all the time.
Yep. Although I'm sure Hillsong didn't fucking push back too much either.
He'll be pushing back now.
So in summary, I don't know if Campbelltown Land is the name of the episode, but feel free to use it.
Yeah, I write it down. Yeah. Did you see me? I did write it down.
Imagine that, the fucking movie. Field of Needles.
Growing up though, the amount of time and the amount of times and places I went to between my dad's pub and also places around Ed's and Campbelltown, where you would look down and you would legitimately see just a random fucking needle. You're like, oh, there's a needle. Better steer clear of that. Look, can you imagine our children now being in a position where they look down, they see just like a random needle and having to process that piece of information? Mm. It's like the shit that I saw growing up between that dumb, you know, just dumb shit and violence and all the rest of it. It's fucking...
My kid would probably make a TikTok of him throwing it at his mates.
Okay. Look, darts.
Hepatitis of fortune.
You're still a person.
Still a person.
Probably not going to be around for much longer. You're probably not going to be around for much
longer.
You got
AIDS, but that's okay. You're still a person.
For now.
hit some Tiger tweets.
Our Twilly winner at @ma_Aaron was the first one in with this joke. Said Noffa finally looks good in defence.
I was spewing because like I was like, oh, I've got to do something about the Titans introducing him to defence, and then I'm like, I'll just see if anyone's done anything, and like there's like 150. I'm like, oh, fuck, all right then.
Joel in the Facebook group said Tigers honouring Tommy's legacy by mimicking the honouring of Tommy they did after his death. Joel said they might as well put Tommy's corpse in the defensive line at this point. Just weekend. Yep. West Tigers weekend at Tommy's.
Oh, fucking hell.
Joel said, ever since I've started listening to the Twill, Tiger games have become much more special. Thought of Glenn trying not to smash a hole in his TV, giving the kids an angry dad, fuck off, I'm watching my shitty team lose, warms the heart. Let's hope the Tigers can find a reason to shit over a legacy every week.
Just on that, it's funny that that should come up. So Leo was watching watching the big TV, which is typically where I park myself up to watch the Tigers. And
that is such a fucking dad thing to say.
Yeah,
the big TV.
I'm on the big TV.
Yeah. So I was like, mate, you probably just dad's Tigers game's on shortly. Can you do you reckon you could go play your Switch on the other TV or whatever? And he's blown up about it, but he's taken it and he's moved on. And then about I don't know, what was it? 15 minutes in, the Titans have scored a couple of tries. Jackson comes over and says, do you want Leo to come back and use this TV again, Dad? Have you had enough yet? So that tweet wasn't all that far off. I won't say he got the...
Getting roasted by a child who supports the Broncos, though.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell.
Mate, that kid's got zero shame. He is just fucking relentless. I don't know where he gets that shit from, to be quite honest. Probably his mother.
One-eyed Tiger said, that game was the epitome of the entire West Tigers' existence. What a fucking punish of a club. Yeah. That one gets
me. The true believers.
That hits me in the feels. And that's not even like some ironic, like self-depreciating piss take.
No.
Fucking dire straits, West Tigers. Nortz said, good to see Tanner Boyd continuing the Boyd legacy. Shunter said, this was such an easy tip, it's sad. And your mate from the Facebook group, Glenn Kyle, said, this is...
Is that how it's pronounced? Karma.
Says, this is karma for that McKinnon joke Glenn made.
I'll take it.
And I'll give, good with that.
I'll give the final say on this one to James, who tells a story. He says, I once started fucking this girl up her ass, and I was approaching the vinegar strokes. I pulled out, only to discover worms crawling out her hole and one trying to climb down my dick. It looked like a maggot was trying to climb inside its mum. I had to jerk it fast in the hope that I would jizz it out. To this day, I don't know if I was successful. All I know is this experience was more enjoyable than this game.
That's disgusting.
That is like dead set the worst fucking comment that we've ever had. Like, not even close. Jesus Christ.
You know what? Next game. If this morning I had a list of a million things I thought I would say, the phrase, it looked like a maggot trying to crawl inside its mum.
Probably pretty low. Probably not.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. And can I just also add that someone's made a comment that made you think twice, you of all people.
Oh, no, the comment didn't. It was just like that description. I didn't ever, like... Don't get me wrong, it's fucking golden, and I will be stealing
it. It's something new.
That's it.
All right. Where are we? Oh, yeah. The Cowboys, 19, defeat the Broncos, 18 up there at the abattoir. The 19 for the Cowboys tries to Felt, Lemulu, and Jason Tamalolo, barnstorming best again. Holmes, 2 or 3 conversions, a penalty goal, and the crucial field goal. The Broncos, 18, tries to Xavier Coates, Reece Kennedy and Jesse Arthurs, Osako, 3 of 3 conversions. Again, the Broncos, they fucking had it won. Mm-hmm. They had it won.
Yeah, they did.
It's just good to see. It's good to see their little fake, not really a derby, getting back to that 1 point shit that they, was going on for years and years.
I thought this was it was actually a pretty entertaining game all over for lots of reasons, I thought. The Broncos in the end had no ability to close it out, and that's really on Milford as the most senior half or playmaker. The game was there to be iced, and he wilted again.
Not only missing the tackles that, to allow them to get downfield to, to get the, you know, in position for the try to open it up.
Can I say though, in defence of Milford, let's take an example of like some of the great halves combinations of premiership winning sides.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you be at Preston and Gower, Benji and Prince in 05, Foran and DCE,
mm-hmm.
when they won, one of them was a game manager. The other one was a creative. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, in the most part of this, yeah.
Out of those two roles, which one does Milford fit?
He's supposed to be the creative, right?
Mm. He is, which is where I think it's unfair to expect him to be the game manager. Seniority or tenure at a club or even fucking tenure in the game doesn't give you that. Like, look at Benji Marshall now. You know, he isn't expected to be Adam Reynolds. And he's the most tenured fucking playmaker going around.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
But in the Broncos case, if not him, who?
Correct. Which is a failing of the club, though.
Mm.
Not Milford. That's a failing that it comes down in these games to the club not knowing how to recruit, not knowing what they're recruiting for, and by that I mean not knowing what fucking gaps there are in the skill set of their teams. You know, it, and you can sort of see that that's why they went after the Brody Croft.
Mm.
Brody Croft, yeah. if he was as they thought he was, he's their game manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately. And like coming from the Storm system.
They thought they were buying Cooper Cronk 2.0 and they got fucking...
Exactly.
When they got home and lost the receipt, they realised that he was not that.
It's like the kid that bought a fucking Toyota Sora because it had a Lexus badge on it and thought he got a Lexus.
Yeah.
You know, it goes pach every now and again, but, you know, your resale's not great.
So true.
I fucking love this game. You know, I am all for crafty veteran resurgences, and Kyle Felt's fucking...
Octopus fucking...
Oh, man.
Plastic man try.
Mm.
Yep.
That was fucking sensational.
Like, that guy, based solely on 2005 grand final try and that put down in this game, he should retire a cowboy and be given a job after football for life.
Yeah, that's it.
Outstanding.
If they don't
do that, I would gladly offer him a position, an ambassadorial position for Twill Nation hashtag fuck the Broncos, because if there's anyone in this world
has embodied that,
that has embodied and done more towards the cause of hashtag fuck the Broncos, I'd like to fucking see you present who it would be. Because, I mean, he is the absolute god and CEO of fuck the Broncos.
Maybe Wayne Bennett.
Seabold.
Look, I think, you know, like Seabold did what he did. Wayne Bennett has far too much good to tip the scale the other way.
That is true.
He had a garbage year, but, I mean, you can't tell me that engineering getting their fucking hearts ripped out through their fucking throats in 2015.
That is very true.
You know. Jason Taumalolo, it was good. It looks like he's getting back there. It looked like he was pretty happy too. And, I mean, that try was just, you know, classic. You know, great footwork from a big guy, wrong-footed everyone. There was no one there to stop him. And Matt Lodge was being lazy and not coming back through on the inside. And, you know, he was left to piggyback him over the line as he scored the try.
I was thinking during this game, you know, has the game, and I don't mean the game, but the people that played it sort of passed JT by in that fact that he was the benchmark of forwards, you know, for a lot of his career. But then have the new crop come through, the Haases, the Pang guys, the Fafitas, are those guys now the standard and he's just one of a group of the best?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's been out for weeks, so like let's have a look, you know, let's revisit it later.
Yeah, exactly. But then just watching how he carried himself in this game, he was fucking rooted.
Mm.
He was absolutely on empty.
Yep.
But still found ways to give when it was needed of him. And I think that's what now sets him apart in my opinion. That when there's fucking nothing left, he's got this fucking reserve tank that he can go to that gets them home in tight situations like this. He was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Pangai doesn't have that.
34 tackles and 230 meters or something like that was, you know, still impressive numbers, you know.
Absolutely.
So and the you know, the best, you know, on ground in that game.
That's
to
it.
Be honest.
It is looking at the Broncos though. They did that thing where then when there was a one-on-one strip against them, and then all of a sudden every fucking play they're going for a one-on-one strip.
Yeah.
And to me, that just reeks of a team that has no cohesive game plan. You know, if you're the Storm, and somebody does a one-on-one strip to you, you go, "Oh, that's fucked." We knuckle down and we defend this set, and we just get right back to playing Storm ball.
Yep.
Because that's just another defensive set. We've fucked up here, but we get back to our set, and then we just go back to our attacking plan. The game just moves on.
Mm.
Whereas Brisbane just seemed to be playing this fucking ad hoc thing. Oh, fuck, they did that. Oh, we'll just try and do that. You know, there's no organisational plan there. It's
well, I mean, yeah, if the Broncos could sort their halves out, they would be a reasonable team. I mean, because they're forwards. Like they can roll through the middle like fucking any team.
And they,
really.
Look, they stood up against the best pack in the competition as well as anybody else has.
Mm.
You know, so,
but what is the right combination in the halves for them?
No not one they've
fucking
got now.
Reserve grade. Yeah, not reserve grade. I mean, you know, like I said, just let's go the classic, you know, a game manager. You need a good one. I mean, like I think if they if this big, you know, there was talk in the media like, you know, Adam Reynolds has presented them some terms that, you know, he would accept, and, you know, in terms of cash and that sort of thing.
Please be a 5-year with another year in his favour.
I don't think it was that long. I don't think it was that long, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was 4. I don't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head. But if they had an Adam Reynolds, they would become instantly far better.
Well, look at them across the park. Really, they need a hooker and they need some decent halves. And they're almost instantly a guaranteed top 8 side again.
And they could probably upgrade a number of their backs, I think.
Yeah, like
as well. I mean, considering, you know, yeah, they're losing Coates and
they've lost him. But their fullback, you know, Osako's right up there and can fucking kick goals. Their forward pack are all basically rep quality except their hookers.
Yep.
You know, it's not a poor team by any stretch of the imagination. Anyway, hashtag fuck the Broncos. Cameron in the Facebook group said, fuck, I hate paying the Cowboys. Yes, you would. Ben said, Val has been a little quiet tonight, but fuck me, that was clutch. And wasn't it just?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? And the other thing it was a fucking great display from the Cowboys halves. How does Chad Townsend improve that team?
He doesn't.
Like they weren't stellar.
But I just think the payoff of sticking with those guys compared to putting Chad in there for fucking 4 years, it's just stick with them. Stick
but with they because they extended Drinkwater as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
This last week.
Yeah.
So that's three. That's bought Dearden and Chad, extended Drinkwater. So I mean, like, how are they? Who are they fucking? Who are they paying to do nothing?
I don't know.
Yeah,
don't know. Levius said Tom Lolo is the true Cowboys hero with the initials JT, not that cackling headgear fraud. There you go.
Oof.
Peter in the Facebook group said, "Fuck, that was frustrating. Brisbane were on top most of that game and needed some organisation in the last 10 minutes to get home. Last tackle play, 6 point up with 5 minutes to go." And Bullimore takes a hit up. Cowboys then go on a charge up the field for 95 metres to score. I fucking hate Milford for so many reasons. He's the experienced playmaker on the field. Not only does he call for the ball on the last to attempt a field goal, his cowardice leads to the final line break that costs the game. Fuck. That is a very good summation. Jordan said, is it just me or does Kevy take acid before the press conferences? Biggest hit TPJ put on was the ref, and Lolo was back to his best. Scott Bongwater and Val forming a nice combo.
Bongwater, yeah. I like it.
Cruzy said, costly errors plus flimsy defence at the end cost us the game, but all good, on to win the next game.
Right.
Fucking hell. You simple delusional cunt.
Speaking of the next game, the Mighty Manly Seagulls 38 defeated the New Zealand Warriors 32 in Tommy Turbo's 100th game. And what a fucking game. Like, that's, this is an example of how to do a memorial anniversary game correctly. A game that had personal stakes for a player, a fucking milestone game. Generally speaking, to the point where it's sort of become a meme, the Tigers generally treat these games with absolute fucking contempt and shit all over the fucking player who's celebrating. Correct, Glenn?
I just feel like we've already spoken about the Tigers, Nathan.
Because, of course, the Tigers had... What was it? It was three things, wasn't it? It was Dewey's 23rd birthday.
Yeah.
Tommy getting let down again. What was the other one? There was something
West
else.
Jersey. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, the West Jersey. Anyway, Manly's 38 came through a double to Tommy Turbo. Garrick Harper also with tries, and Jason Saab with a hat-trick.
That's good wins,
Garrick,
too.
Four conversions and a penalty goal. The Warriors, 32, had a double to Channel Harris-DeVita. Tohu Harris, Curran, Reese Walsh also with tries. I think that was Reese Walsh's first try in first grade. Nick Arima, five conversions and a penalty goal. Perfect day with the boot for him. Good drink, Glenn.
Yeah, sorry. Fucking thirsty. My bad.
It just sounded like you. It just sounded like you really fucking enjoyed it. It was just like.
I was more taking a breath because I fucking know what's coming. Listening to you.
There's nothing coming except honest assessments of rugby league. I mean,
be coming. They beat the Warriors.
It was a fucking entertaining game because like there was lots of tries scored, you know, which is great. This is probably what Volandis had in mind when he made the rules. Not so much like, you know, like these one sided floggings, but you know, like he wanted these, you know, just like points scored sort of thing. And like, yeah, I'm not like delighted with the defense, but I am delighted with in general how the side played. I'm glad that they were down by, you know, more than a try at half time, and they sort of, you know, looked at that adversity and came back and basically eliminated the errors that put them in that position and cracked on in the second half and just poured on some points. Tommy fucking unbelievable. Like, I mean, his try assists stats in this game is tied with every other fullback in the competition's total season output across eight matches. He's catching up on the tries, and once again just fucking untouchable. Like pretty much every what was like the other tries that we scored, I mean, he just about put all of them on.
Four tries, Jason Saab, two tries, yeah.
Jason Saab fucking delighted with the improvement he's showing. I wasn't sure about him when he first came over from the Dragons, mostly because I'd sort of been conditioned by the salty Dragons fan talk about, you know, how he's shit anyway, and you know, with the kind of ex-girlfriend behaviour, and he wasn't great to start with, but fuck, week on week he's getting better. His defense is great. I mean, like a, you know, potentially game-saving tackle there in the last minute against someone who was a great finisher in Ken Marmolo. Obviously, speed fucking unbelievable, and now he's starting to get fed the sort of high kicks to utilize his you know, physical stature as well. So everyone's just learning how to use him a bit better, and he's just really starting to take his place in the team. As is Morgan Harper. I was a bit worried this week with Suli coming back from injury, and they sort of had him on the bench. And I was like, well, you know, maybe this is Moses' next evolution in his career, where he's probably going to come on as a, at least in our current injury riddled state, you know, he'd come on as a back row replacement or, you know, substitute. And, yeah, that seemed to be the case. Look, Brad Parker's still a fucking retard, but, and he's like just some dumb fucking questionable shit that, you know, just effortless shit that he did that gave up two, like, you know, a couple of those weird sort of, you know, bouncing ball, fucking rolling around the in-goal, you know, mayhem sort of tries, which just fucking unnecessary. But at the same time, I think they were probably a little bit flat after last week, and because, you know, obviously it's a big, a big difference having to get up to play the fucking Warriors versus, you know, playing the Panthers. But, you know, they got themselves into the game. They got the win. Tommy's the fucking untouchable greatest player, you know, of all time in his current form. And pretty happy with as well because, like, without our two first props, that was the big worry I had going into the game because the Warriors, if nothing else, are a side that's sort of that rumble down the middle and then get it out to, you know, Roger, you know, get it out to Roger or, like, you know, Fusatua and Malmalo who can finish fucking tries. And, you know, while their forwards did, you know, their forwards were on top for large portions of the day, it was kind of more, it was bend not break. And, you know, we get to welcome back Marty next week, which is great.
There you go.
Anyone want to say something or just go to socials?
Just on Jason Saba, I agree with what you said. I think his ceiling really rose with this game. The hat trick was impressive alone, but the commitment at the end of the game to cover and make that tackle was a real sign that he's arriving. And, you know, the speed, you could see the try, one of the tries that he scored where Tommy Turbo sliced through and he didn't even bother trying to draw and pass, just gave it to him early and just let him burn Roger all ends up. So, you know, the players around him and growing confidence, as you said. So,
and I'll tell you, seeing the way that Tommy slide, like, you know, those nearly all of his line breaks were the same this week, and like that's straight through fucking Milford Plaza. Mm. I mean, so if they pick Milford next week, that's I don't see that situation stopping anytime soon.
Levius in the Facebook group said, "I'm not saying a word until full time. I'm a slow learner, but I do learn." Of course, throwing back to the famous day.
That's when he arrived, the day he arrived.
That he was fucking lippy when the Warriors played Penrith.
Were you there, Glenn?
Nah.
No, Glenn moved to Toowoomba.
Yeah, we were at Hotel LA in that bar there underneath there.
Yeah.
And on the TV at the time, we were having a sort of a little bit of a meet-up.
What was that? Was that the first doubleheader? Like, it wasn't a magic round. Was that the Sarge doubleheader?
It may have been. Yeah, it may have been.
And so the Penrith game was on TV before.
Yeah.
Before the
because that was in New Zealand, I think, because it's over time difference. And so the Warriors were leading Panthers like 24-0 or something at halftime.
Yeah.
And Levius was loving it. And this is the first time we ever met him in the flesh. And so he was being lippy. And then you see in the second half, Panthers just start chipping it, and ultimately win easily. Like they,
this was in that era where Penrith had those amazing come from behind victories.
How did it finish up?
Was they won. Penrith won.
No. But was Levius good about it? Did he storm out?
He's great about it.
This was where he became, you know, one of the guys we love.
He does strike me as a stand up guy. So
in that, because we had a bet on for a Twitter username.
Yeah. Okay.
Loser had to change the Twitter's username, and he fucking took his medicine. And if there is one thing that, you know, that is my bowl of green M&Ms about a person's character, it's when they can fucking take their medicine and accept it as just part of the fucking give and take and be part of the joke, not, you know, not think it's then on them because their team lost. So,
And the thing is, that Twitter handling, it wasn't like, you know, these people fucking around 1 week these days. I mean, he had to have it for the entire season.
For the rest of the season.
Yeah, for the rest. So his Twitter name became, you know, like at Cleary's bitch for the entire fucking year.
Brilliant.
Fucking great. But he owned it. Fucking owned it.
Yeah.
Devonhead said, "How nice of the Warriors to dedicate the second half to Tommy, just like the Tigers." At BMJews07 said, "Defense was optional." Yes, it fucking was for both these shit cunt sides. At DeanK88 said, "Nice of this game to have two games worth of points and excitement to compensate for the match that follows it." Ryan said, "If Turbo stays fit, he wins the Dally M by the length of the Corso." And Frogmore says, has anyone told Tommy Turbo when he gives an interview, he is allowed to open his mouth to speak? No, they haven't. No, they fucking haven't.
I haven't seen any interviews. I've only seen the press conference with his coach, who also doesn't really open his mouth to speak either.
That's it.
Well, in terms of press conferences anyway.
So are you working on your Tommy Turbo impersonation, Jay, as well as, and is it going to be as good as your DCE one?
I don't know how I could possibly fucking get it done. It really is at a fucking almost animalistic level, with such a base level of intellect required that I don't think I could actually do it. In fact, what would be more apt for me to do is drop 30 kilograms of MDMA and 40 fleshlights into the gorilla enclosure and just then remix all the noises that come out of it into this fucking random assortment. And that would be the closest analog I could get of how fucking Tommy Tardo sounds giving an interview.
It does beg the question, though, like, if you did give a fleshlight to a gorilla, how long would it take for them to figure out how to fuck it?
Not very long.
Like, you know, sans take the drugs away, give them their best chance to figure it out straight first.
Well, you know, you'd help them out.
Are any listeners employed at a zoo?
I would have a crack team of scientists develop a synthetic gorilla vag spray on scent.
Oh, fuck me, Dad.
Well, yeah, that would obviously, yeah.
Oh, he's going down the rabbit hole. I just gotta. I'm hanging on.
For me, I wouldn't want to. Like, I wouldn't want to give them any cues. I just want them to see what they did with it, and if they figured out, and if that was where they went. For science, I mean, obviously, I mean, scientific minds want to know
exactly. These are the great questions of our age. No, we're done. Next game.
Righto, the final game. The Dragons 32 defeat the Bulldogs 12 at Jubilee. The Dragons, a double to Matt Dufty, Corey Norman, Paul Vaughan, Junior Moni, and how do we pronounce these? It's the twins. Is it? I was listening to this game on the radio as I was driving home from a Mother's Day thing, and is it like they sound like Feni?
Yeah, Feni.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, yeah, that's, I mean, the ABC guys usually get it pretty right, and you know, often at odds to what you hear on the television teams. The Doggies, 12 tries to run off of Tony, Nick Meaney, and two conversions to Flano Jr.
Tell you what, Nick Meaney, if you had a signature football card of his, you'd be sure to sell it on eBay tonight after his fucking heroic intercept efforts.
Yep, absolute peak value.
And yes, cough, shunter.
If it's not clear, we do know someone who owns such a card.
it was nice to see the Dragons get an opportunity to beat up on one of the lesser lights of the competition after being destroyed by the Tigers last week. Jack Bird probably played his best game, I thought. It's the best game I've seen him play since he left Cronulla. I didn't think centre was his position. I always thought lock was where Jack Bird would really play out, you know, the large part of his career. But he seems right at home in the centres at the Dragons, and the style of football they play really suits him. Matt Dufty, still not signed at the Dragons. I'm confused as to what it is, Hook or anyone else involved with keeping it at the club are waiting to see, or what the plan B is, if it's not him.
Yeah, you're right. They don't seem to be in a position where they're going to attract a top tier replacement.
Mm.
No.
So it's a funny situation they're going to be in, and even if they could, who's available?
Mm.
Yeah.
Who's off contract at the moment that would slot in over him?
I can't think.
I got nothing.
I suppose Dane Laurie might want an upgrade.
I was wondering if you'd go there, and you didn't disappoint. You really, really do.
Yeah. Look, this game went exactly as expected. The only question was how dominant the Dragons were going to be.
Mm.
And I think they had a good showing of improving on what they put up last week against some fairly feeble opposition.
Yep. Yeah, and the Doggies, I mean, they've almost got to the point where they've broken Trent, and I'm fucking here for it.
Yep.
Like, he's admitted they're in a bit of a hole, and, you know, it seems like a long time ago when he was, you know, crying because they won a fucking game.
Yeah.
And he'll be crying his fucking self to sleep tonight, and look, I'm here for it.
Yep. You hate to see it.
Yep, you hate to fucking see it, but more than that, you love to see it.
That's it.
And like, I don't know, like, because now the Doggies also, they're suffering injuries and stuff as well. So, like, they're a bad side, but now they're a bad side that's
depleted.
They're being depleted of, you know, I can't say good players, but they're being depleted of their players as well. You know, will this be the magic fucking pill that, you know, reveals some guy they bring up and sets the world on fire? And, you know, I just think they're just marking time until they get Fox and Burton.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me. And they're not, and
they're not the answer?
Without a fucking, without, you know, a hooker, that's like, I don't, you know, what are they going to do?
Yeah, fuck. Who knows? And
you see Flano Jr., I mean, I've got to say today in particular is one of the first times where I've gone, oh, okay. Yeah, okay, I see what Trent Robertson was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it now. I mean, when you aren't surrounding him with the likes of fucking, you know, Beamos and the fucking great forwards,
yeah,
and, you know, having Teddy running off him, and like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
He isn't that flash, actually.
On the socials, unless Glenn, you've got anything more to add on this one about the fucking Dogs' misery?
No.
Jordan, with a fucking simple but a goodie, says it's like a bunch of R words trying to fuck a door. Rishi said, so the Dragons are up by 16. Couldn't they just leave the ground now? No way the Bulldogs are going to put 3 converted tries on in the final 20 minutes, even without opposition present. Fat Harry Lazy. So Canterbury's attack is like watching Michael J. Fox trying to thread a needle. Cody says, well, after narrowly going down to one of the competition heavyweights last week, we've managed to regroup and wrestle control over another powerhouse team. I reckon the Storm are a bit nervous about next week. At Daniel_RedV on Twitter said, Ben Hunt greater than Andrew Johns. Hashtag the 14th immortal.
Jesus.
Calm down.
That's it. And that's all the comments we had on that one.
Right. That's it then. That's full time for episode 397. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, head to thisweekinleague.com/links to get links to our Patreon, our social media communities, our Facebook groups, fucking great. All that good shit. If you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Fucking tell a friend. Or why not join our Patreon? Become a patron. We've got a number of tiers. Great rewards. And before we close the show, I'd like to give a shout out to some of our wonderful patrons. So big thank you to Lando, the Aussiest man alive. Oh,
fuck yeah.
And as you know, Glenn, he goes back.
Doesn't he?
Many years. Yep. Nathan, who often has comments read out in the show. Great contributor in the Facebook group. Love having you on, mate. And Scotty Finn.
Scotty also, Finn, formerly world's angriest man.
Exactly. I remember when he fucking didn't rate the show. Then he fucking then he became a big supporter.
Fuck, he went from 0 to 100, like as far as running at us, faster than Usain Bolt, and then he took his lumps and come back a better man.
Yeah, yeah, and honestly, I haven't seen much from him in a long time, so I was actually surprised to see his name pop up. But it's great to have you on board, bud. And that's it. Unless you have anything else to add before we wrap it up, fellas.
Not at all.
No.
What a weekend.
Well, so I am fucking tired as now. I'm exhausted.
Thank you to all the mothers out there for fucking taking loads like the champs you are.
And spawning the life that we call Tool Nation. Life finds a way. And we'll magic weekend coming up next weekend, bitches. And so we'll have a Wednesday night episode, and then we'll start seeing you motherfuckers, no doubt.
Don't Friday. Eat bats, you fucking barbecue bats. Buying cunts.
Yep.
Do Don't not fuck bats. This up.
Hey, did you see the wrinkle in that story? That, you know, the story was, you know, with that guy in Sydney that was from Bondi, they got the Rona. He, you know how he's like went to, you know, barbecue shop, and then finished up at like Bondi Meats or whatever, the butcher.
This better be super fucking interesting.
So, it's not that, the narrative was, oh, yeah, this guy's obviously gone and bought a bunch, you know, looked at it for, you know, priced a bunch of barbecues, finally got his barbecue, then finished up at the butcher to get his meat for his barbecue. In fact, he's actually a managing director of Apollo Global Management. And it wasn't that he was actually looking to buy barbecues, although he did. He was more looking at barbecues galore because Apollo Global Management is looking at buying the franchise. And so he was actually doing some due diligence on barbecues galore. So, rich roller. But that's it, folks.
All right.
We'll see you guys on Wednesday and in the flesh. Fingers crossed. I don't want to jinx it, but fingers crossed, Magic Weekend is going to be happening, and even for out-of-towners. So,
fuck yeah. How good. Can't wait.
Talk to you fellas on Wednesday.
Okay.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.